Hey guys, and welcome to the Three Drinks In podcast, episode number 75. No guest this week, but Phil and I are discussing the recent offering from Disney's Animation Studios in Moana, with songs by Lin-Manuel Miranda and featuring The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Before we get into all that, though, do us a favor. We'd really appreciate it if you, after you're done listening, head over to iTunes and rate us over there. That would be really helpful. It's going to get the word out on us, and if you're enjoying what you're hearing, we'd appreciate even more listeners and more opportunities to bring you great content. So head over to iTunes, click that 5 stars, and if you want to write a review, that's great. If you don't, no big deal. If you want to follow us, we are at the number 3 Drinks In Pod, at 3 Drinks In Pod on Twitter, at 3 Drinks In Podcast, all with words, on Instagram. There's the Facebook page, there's the email address, and the website, 3DrinksInPodcast.com. That covers just about everything you need to know. And, okay, boys, hit it. Has been watching the Gilmore Girls now.
How's that going?
I can see the appeal. Not for me, but I can
for other people.
I can see the appeal.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's one of those things where, like, I'm watching. I think I watched half of the first episode. I was doing something. I was making dinner, and then I watched one with her tonight. And I was totally tuning out, and the one character of the daughter is kind of a bitch, but only really when she needs to be a bitch. Otherwise, she's like the sweetest girl in the world. And the mother is totally rational and normal and just kind of eccentric, except when she's an absolute psychopath, when the plot needs her to be. So it just kind of bugged me that they, you know, maybe this is just how women see themselves and how that they were written. But it seemed kind of very convenient, lazy writing to have this. These two characters play up their eccentricities whenever the plot needs them to be crazier or meaner.
Isn't that like the West Wing for chicks with the rapid fire nonsense? Everyone talks the same.
Yeah, essentially, it was done better in the West Wing, just because the talent was better. You know, between John Spencer and Martin Sheen, you just had a lot more. And what's her name? Allison Janney. You had a lot more really talented people on that show. And like, I can sort of see how everyone sounding the same would irk people. And for a while, it does. But if it's done, if that's done well, then you're just kind of along for the ride and you're enjoying the back and forth so much. If it's done poorly, it really stands out as like, you know, you don't need to talk that fast. There's no reason for it here. On that show, it was all about, you know, this is a busy job and things happen at a breakneck pace, and we're just going to have, you know, meetings in the hallways, and you know, and it was a way to make an office show seem really engaging, was to have constant movement of the camera. So there was sort of a reason for it, even if you didn't like it. It was backed up by saying, we have to make this interesting because the subject matter is very, you know, high stakes. But the actual things that go on, it's like, it's just an office drama. That's all it really is. And to make that more exciting, they put in a lot of movement. Mm-hmm. And, for others, they didn't like it. But at least there was some rationale behind it. The Gilmore Girls are talking fast because it's fun to talk fast.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I only watched one episode of Gilmore Girls and I hated it. Because of that. That's one reason I don't like The West Wing either.
There was a show that the same... What was that?
It's just unbelievably distracting to me.
It can be, yeah. There was a show that the same producer of Gilmore Girls did in the last couple of years called Bunheads. And same basic thing. People talking very fast, but it featured an actress who was really engaging to watch talk fast. Mm-hmm. So if you are interesting while you do it, then don't do it. You know, you have to be good at it, and it has to serve a function.
I mean, it's not just that they're talking fast. It's that they're all talking exactly the same. It's like a Joss Whedon thing. Everyone speaks exactly the same, except one's a little angrier, one's a little nicer, you know. One's the wise ass, one's the less of a wise ass. It was like, why? This is so distracting. No one's really like this, and it becomes boring. Yeah.
And what it allows you to do is play up at different times certain character attributes. The trick is, and I thought this was done better on the West Wing than Joss Whedon does, is that certain characters, even though they all talked at the same rate, they all behaved differently. Whereas, as our friend Scott pointed out, you know, he really hates Joss Whedon's writing because basically everyone sounds the same, and because of that, they can do the same things. You know, the jokes aren't, you know, relegated just to Iron Man. You know, Thor can make a joke every now and again, which doesn't make any sense. Or it gives the writer a little bit more flexibility in giving, you know, different, you know, verbal assignments to different characters, even if they don't, you know, even if it makes no sense for them to have them.
Right.
You know? Mm. So it's cheap. Cheating, rather. So Anyway, that's what I did this afternoon or this evening.
You watched Gilmore Girls with your wife?
I watched Gilmore Girls with my wife.
You know you have more than one television in your house, right?
Oh, yes, but we try and do things together. We're apart all day long. We try to do one thing together. And, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, flexible, watch different things. We just finished another, I can't think of what we just watched The Crown.
The listeners cannot hear my eyes rolling. Probably for the best.
That low rumble you hear is
yeah, that's my contempt.
So it says the guy who's going to get married soon.
I don't have to watch This Is Us, so I'm fine.
Well, I would never watch that. Oh God Almighty, be crying like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we just watched The Crown, and now we have nothing else to watch right now, and so we're just kind of. We're in a show hole, as they say.
Yeah. That commercial is great.
Oh yeah,
it's just the voice. Hysterical. Now you're in a show hole. What are you going to do? Go outside?
Don't be ridiculous. Yeah.
Like the mail's falling out of your mailbox because you haven't been outside in 10 years.
But we did actually get out the other night to go to the movies, and we saw Moana.
Yeah,
Moana.
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 Mona.
Mona.
Mm.
Male, Gale. So, and yeah. It was funny. We watched a movie for an hour and a half that takes place in Hawaii and walked outside, and there was a blizzard outside.
Yeah.
And I was like,
And that's where we're going on my honeymoon. So I was like, can we just go right now? Why doesn't everyone live on that island?
It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Sprite, coconuts. You know, it's all good.
Yeah. Just make sure you stay on the windward side.
Yes.
Yes. Otherwise, it's very wet.
Yeah. Well, they had snow there recently.
In Hawaii?
Yeah, like on the mountaintops.
Oh.
But like record snow on the mountain.
Yeah, okay. That's not pretty unusual.
Yeah, that's still, they were like, what? And then they were like, it's global warming. And I went, what?
I'm sorry. I don't know what warming means anymore.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That's not right. Do you remember when acid rain was a thing?
Acid rain. Uzis.
What?
Uzis were a big deal years ago.
Uzis? The gun?
Yeah. No, like I had a podcast on today, and they were talking about like things that you don't hear about anymore. And it was like acid rain and something else. And like as far as like the firearms arguments, everyone, because, like, you know, in the 80s and 90s, it was assault rifles. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing, and you know, but before that, it was Uzis. Everyone had Uzis, and they were terrifying.
Yeah,
and then you know, you don't hear about them anymore. It's whatever gun nuts are buying is the new evil thing. Mm. So they bought AR-15s in the '90s, and everyone hated AR-15s. And
well, I mean,
back and forth.
Remember the like ozone that was going to kill everybody?
Oh, the ozone.
Ozone.
Right, the ozone, big thing. That didn't happen.
That no.
It got the hole got smaller. It began to repair itself. Mm. Son of a bitch. And that big oil spill that happened in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, what's going on?
Everything's
what's going on with that?
Fine there, it seems.
I'm not saying these things aren't problems. I'm just saying the world didn't end.
Right. Anyway, so Disney movies.
I find it interesting. Yes, Disney movies. This one was good.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. What did you think of Moana?
I liked it.
You liked it.
What did you think?
I didn't like it that much, but it wasn't like bad. It just, I don't know. I was sort of underwhelmed about it.
Hmm. Can you ever just be whelmed?
I think you can in Europe.
Oh.
Well, for those of you who didn't see it and don't care if we ruined it for you, the movie concerns a large tribe of people living on... Did I say which island they're on? She mentioned it like 1,000 times and I can't think of the name of it.
It has a name, but I think it's made up.
Right. Okay. So it's basically kind of like a fairy tale... Yeah, like there's really not. There's only so much reality in it, and a lot of it's kind of mystical. And it's about the daughter of the chief, and she's, you know, kind of an adventurer, a wanderer, but no, she has to stay, and they all have to, you know, make do with what they have on their on their island. That all of a sudden begins to die,
mm-hmm.
And her grandmother tells her, "Oh, well, what you have to do is go across the ocean and find the demigod in Maui and get him to return this thing he stole thousands of years ago. And, you know, we'll bring life back to the island and it won't be, you know, decaying like it is and running out of food and fish and that kind of stuff." And so, and she goes and does all these things. And there's songs by the guy that wrote Hamilton. So he's a big deal. Lin-Manuel Miranda. And, I don't know. The film sort of, in my opinion, suffers from two things. It's kind of trite in some ways. It's pretty predictable. And there's no real villain in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of bugged me a little bit. Like, you know, the journey is compelling and, you know, it's... The theme is abundantly clear.
Right.
And there's not a lot of ambiguity where, like, you don't know what is happening or why. But I don't know. At times I just felt that, you know, there needed to be more more of an adversary than herself. You know, and convincing the guy who can help her to help her and... I don't know. Like, I think the lack of a bad guy sort of really hurt the film. And there is kind of one at the end when she confronts the monster, but the monster ends up being not a monster.
Well, so, there's the little pirate coconut guys,
which is just like, wait, we need more action in this movie.
Well, yeah, that's most
make
kids
pirates.
Movie. Yeah,
it seemed like an afterthought. So it was kind of a
little mini adversaries.
Yeah, little mini things, kind of like Odysseus. You know, bumps into this thing, into that thing.
Right. And,
yeah, the crab thing was weird, though.
The crab thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was voiced by the guy Jermaine Clements. Yeah. I think his name. He's the guy from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Like, I know he was in the Flight of the Conchords, but like. When he was talking, I had no idea who it was. Then we started to sing. I went with my mother and my fiance, and my mom goes, "Who is that?" I go, "He's doing David Bowie." Like, he was clearly imitating David Bowie when he was singing.
Oh, yeah, I guess he was. I don't know much about David Bowie.
Oh, he sounded a lot like David Bowie. And I'm like, well, it can't be David Bowie because he's dead.
That's true.
But I was like, I don't know who this guy's voice really is. It was fine. You know, he could sing, I guess. It was a funny song.
Yeah, it was really strange. So, yeah, so I don't know. I didn't dislike the movie per se, but I kind of, I don't know. You kind of want them all to be great at the same time. You're like, yeah, well, they can't all be great. They're all kids' movies.
Right.
So.
I'm like, I'm not surprised by what the less it is. She has to be herself. That's every kids' movie. It's ever existed ever, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, that's not surprising.
Kind of hammer it home though quite a bit.
Yeah, they do. It goes on and on, but that's the whole thing. I mean, it's not just her. It's also the demigod played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, yes, who also had to be himself, you know. And
he sang too, by the way. I thought that was kind of
he
fun.
Did. I noticed that the last few Disney movies where they've sort of become Pixar, you know, starting with Tangled, and they hire actors that also sing or make them sing. So right. When you watch the old Disney ones from the 90s, like, it was clear that the singing voices and the acting voices were different. And
for the most part, Ariel was one of the few that actually sang and then spoke.
Well, that's one out of a decade's worth of movies. You know?
Yeah, they all did.
And in this one, it's like, well, we just hired someone who could sing. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they did that with Tangled, and they did that with Frozen. And, you know, not everyone's good. I mean, The Rock raps in this, basically, and he's not a great singer, but he pulls it off well enough. He had the catchiest song,
sure,
I thought. But, you know, it is impressive that they're like, you know what? You're going to sing, too. Get in there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody would notice if, I mean, I guess we're that sophisticated now. I mean, I didn't notice as a kid, but as adults, like, that's clearly not, you know, the Steve from Full House singing there.
I know. I always think of that guy because they were like, you know, it saves money if we can just hire the same guy to do both. And I think they had that guy sing for like two notes. Like, well, you know what? We'll put out a call and we'll get someone. And don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry. You're not fired. You're okay.
You can still come back and do the made-for-TV show we're going to do on Disney Channel, but we're going to get a singer. So yeah, that guy can't sing at all.
No. He had a good podcast, I think, with the Nerdist.
I found that guy fascinating. I thought he was very interesting, that guy.
I can't remember a lot of what he said, but I remember at that time I'm going, yeah, this is...
He was just so down to earth, you know, and like... And I like, because I always noticed it too, where he said, I got in at the last possible second when they stopped hiring people no one had ever heard of.
Yeah.
He was like, after Aladdin, they started hiring, you know, James Earl Jones, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Jeremy Irons. He was like, I was nobody. I was fucking Aladdin. You know?
And he played that role forever in video games and all kinds of crap.
He was great because he liked doing it and they paid him. And he's like, yeah, I don't mind. I'm not doing anything. He does the voiceovers for like the parades in Disney World. Like, he's like, I'll do it, whatever.
Yeah. Well, he'll be Aladdin until he's 92.
Yeah. Him and James Woods. James Woods does the voice of Hades from Hercules, and he likes doing it so much, he's like, call me, I'll do it. they had a TV show for that, and he did the voice for that, too.
Yeah, I mean, how busy could you be? It takes, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, that's what I always thought.
It's literally a day's work. You work one day every 6 months. It's fantastic.
Yep.
Oh, what are you drinking over there?
I'm drinking the last of my Blue Point Summer Ale.
A week before Christmas, nice.
Yeah, well, it is a tropical theme movie, so
that's true. Well done.
I pull out the summer ale. How about you? What are you drinking? Anything?
Well, as water played a prominent role in the film, I'm drinking a glass of water.
No, not the salty kind, I hope.
No. Oh God, no. That would be deadly.
So you didn't like the plot?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just predictable and, I don't know, lacking in. Like, there was no big thing at the end. You kind of want a big knockdown drag out. And a lot of these movies lately have sort of been missing that. And that doesn't mean that they're bad. I mean, Inside Out didn't have that. And Frozen had it sort of shoehorned in there.
Well, that's what...
But you can't...
It's stupid when they just throw it in.
Right.
Like... It feels forced. You're like, oh, what? Now he's a bad guy? Like, you could tell they didn't want to do that.
Right. Yeah, no, that was... I mean, they talk about it all the time as if it's like, ooh, look at this great thing we figured out. Yeah, you made a huge mistake and you patched it up very poorly. But, like, Tangled is sort of... is probably the best one of the recent ones because it had a character actively trying to disrupt the intentions of your hero/heroine. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this case, you don't have somebody who's trying to screw things over. They're, you know, it's things are the way they are for whatever reason, and she has to reverse that. And so she just has to convince the Rock or Maui, the demigod, to do something that he, you know, doesn't have a lot of confidence in. And she learns from him, and he learns from her. And it's, you know, everyone grows, and it's very, you know, heartwarming to be sure. But I just, you after all that, and there, and like the lead up to that, you know, that moment where they confront the demon is, you know, all of it's pretty good, you know, and she begins to learn about her people, and she has really kind of crazy adventures. And then it comes up to this thing, and it's like, oh, all I had to do was just, oh, all right.
Well, we still have to get past it. The thing where she has to put the stone is right past a giant fire demon that looks like a person. And it does try to kill her.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's certainly an obstacle. But how does she just kind of gets better at sailing and...
Well, she needs Maui's help to get past. Like, he distracts it. Once he overcomes his own inadequacies. Spoiler
his
alert.
Own sort of, yeah, his, you know, his own fear of a failure.
He gives up his hook, like it gets damaged.
Right.
So,
and yeah, so I mean, I don't know what did you like about it?
I thought she was good. I thought the characters were funny.
There weren't very many of them. Did you catch that?
No, it's not.
There were like five or six speaking parts this entire movie.
Yeah. Well, people, they're like, it's not so much like a quest as it is like a tiny voyage. Like, it's not huge.
No,
you know,
it's not.
It's they should have subtitled it, A Girl and Her Retarded Chicken, you know, because she takes that bird with them.
The bird was a fun gag.
Yeah, like the bird was totally like its eyes went the opposite directions and it walked into things constantly.
But my God, was that chicken really retarded?
Yeah, it was like inbred or something.
It was such a bizarre thing.
Even one character was like, "Are you sure we shouldn't just cook him? Because you know we live on this tiny island."
Yeah, I thought that was funny when she has like a pet pig and she's eating pork all at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting. It's like, sorry.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked, I really liked the setting that it was, you know, these Polynesian people and that plays into it. Like, it's important that they're Polynesian.
Oh, you know? Culturally, it's, you know, they're very specific about, you know, who they are.
Yeah, their spirits are involved. Like, the oceanography, like how to sail on those boats. It was really interesting. I thought the music was okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So, yeah, this, you know, Hamilton's a really big deal. Probably the biggest thing on Broadway since The Lion King. And that was, you know,
15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Before that, you had Cats. Which you have again, everybody.
I remember texting you during the Thanksgiving Day parade, like, I don't understand this. What is going on? Like, I know what I'm seeing, but my brain can't put it together in any way where it makes any sense.
Yeah, it's just Andrew Lloyd Webber, man.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the attraction to that show is.
So I
look makeup jobs are great.
Are they though? They look like weird S&M characters, like
very well made up weird S&M characters.
Yes, the makeup is excellent. but then the tails are hanging off them like a fourth grade production. I'm like, what are these outfits they're wearing?
Quick, get the hot glue.
Yeah, like does anybody have an extra set of whiskers? You know.
So yeah, so Hamilton's a big deal, and they just kind of grabbed him because he was the latest thing. And I mean, I think he writes really, really catchy songs.
Yeah, I actually have a couple of the songs from the soundtrack on my iTunes.
Yeah, I mean they're catchy, and in this case, they're sweeping. Mm-hmm. You know, like they have this very grandiose quality to them, where there's a lot of clever lyrics and alliteration, and then everything kind of swells and you got a big, you know, it's a little Stephen Sondheim. And
yeah, what I noticed about him, especially in his raps, is that he's very good at getting around things that would slow other people down. So like his raps, if you can't rhyme words, he's very good at building other words that rhyme around them. Yeah. And you see that best. He did a guest spot on How I Met Your Mother during that stupid episode where they rhyme everything like a nursery rhyme.
I always forget he was on that. Yeah,
yeah, he was like a passenger on the bus, and Marshall can't rhyme the word Canada. And he turns to him and says, "Excuse me, sir, do you know a word that rhymes with Canada?" And he just busts out a rhyme. And if you notice, he never once rhymes the word Canada, really. But he rhymes around it. Like, what rhymes with Canada? I don't know. And like he's very good at it.
Yeah, he's extremely talented.
So you don't notice that he hasn't rhymed the word he's looking for, you know. And when he's telling a story, it's easy because he can use different words and rhyme around other things. It's very clever, his wordplay.
Yeah, he seems to use a lot of, you know, rhythm is a big thing with him. So as much as it's important to have the, you know, the words work together in terms of similar sounds, the pace and tempo of what he's doing, you know, he'll adjust that. In Leah, it's, I think misdirection is probably the best way to describe that. Mm-hmm. Is that you know, and for those of you who've seen Hamilton, all three of you, every character in that show, they're differentiated by the way in which they sing. And for the rap guys, it's you know, some guys, you know, talk like Lafayette talks really, really fast. And was it him or something like that? But then like Washington comes in and it's he's much harder. He's much more like boom, boom. You know, it's the tempo and the energy that he brings to it is very different than Hamilton, who is flighting above everybody else because the whole thing is that he was so good with words. And then my favorite thing is when Jefferson shows up at the beginning of Act Two, he's singing jazz because he's kind of behind in the times. That's the joke, is that he's, you know, we're all rapping because, you know, and you've been off in France farting around for the last 10 years. And now you're back and you're totally not with it anymore. Unfortunately, I think that's some of the best stuff in the show is the jazz singing. Mm-hmm. It sort of doesn't get as much play. Anyway, but these songs, yeah, they do all that, and they're a lot of fun, and they speak very much to what the scenery is, I think, too.
Yeah,
you know, the sailing and the movement of the camera and everything.
Yeah, and the girl has some set of pipes on her. She can really belt it out.
She could really sing, yeah.
You know, which she does several times.
Yeah. I also found that she was drawn to be extraordinarily attractive. Well, like as a cartoon character?
Sure, yeah. Why wouldn't she be?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes they're designed to be kind of quirky, but I looked at her and go, they really just wanted to go for just very pretty. Well, with this person.
Well, that's not unusual. They did that with Frozen and Tangled and the others.
Yeah, I guess so.
But big eyes, they had button noses.
Yeah, but like there was things about the way that they were drawn that, you know, because she's the only character really in this, like, you know, the only female character in the story besides the grandmother and the mother or whatever. Like, whereas in Frozen, you had to have one be a redhead and one be sort of weirdo, pale looking and...
Well, all those characters look the same, so they have to differentiate them by their hair or, like, freckles or something. And these people look the same, too. Like, they all look kind of similar. You know, they're drawn like big-headed, big-eyed, puppy-faced cartoons. They're supposed to look attractive.
It just stood out to me. They're like, wow, they're really kind of going for sex appeal with this one, you know.
What? You think she was so thick? She looks like a Polynesian girl.
No, but like the face in terms of that like adorableness, big eye.
You know, I didn't know. She looked just like all the others.
No,
that didn't bother me.
I guess so.
And I like that they kind of made her look like a Polynesian person. You know, they were.
Oh, yeah.
All the men were gigantic and the women weren't stick thin like they are in Frozen. You know, that's what they look like.
That's true. I mean, I guess just because that she was the only thing that you looked at for a long time.
Right.
The only character. She had such a sort of like standard, this is an adorable face kind of thing.
Mm.
Where I was just like, oh, well, okay. It's, since there didn't need to be variation, they could make her look as adorable as possible. And it was like, oh, okay. That's what I thought of it. I don't know.
And their hair looked amazing. I could not get over how good their hair looked.
Everything looked. I mean, they're getting so good at this.
Yeah.
And
but like
there was
because their hair was wet one minute and like dry the next minute. I was like, holy shit, their hair looks so real.
Yeah. There was the one scene in the beginning when she's like a little baby. She's like wandering towards the ocean.
Yeah.
And there was one shot that was like real low, and all you could see in the background was like the light shimmering off the water, and I could have sworn that was real.
Yeah, yeah, the ocean looked great.
They just kind of inserted this little cartoon character in a live, you know, in a actually filmed scene. I was blown away by that. Yeah, it's effortless now. I mean, they wouldn't say that.
I mean, I'm sure they would complain, but like. It works because like I was just blown away. I was like, wow, this looks amazing. At one point, The Rock's character is sitting on her boat at night, staring down at the water, talking, and you could see the light reflected on his chin from the water as if he was standing over like a pool. And I audibly was like, whoa, like that just looks amazing. I could never think of that. Like, yeah, he would have that there. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, and some of these things like you don't notice, and that's sort of the point. Like we look at them and we're like, oh, look at that, look at that, look at that. Like there was a thing at the credits that was, I don't know, was it like some kind of a feather.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was. It was just an image of something from the story that was just sitting up larger than life during the credits, and it looked like hairy. There was some kind of like animal hair, and you could see every single strand of it.
Mm.
And I was just like, I don't know how you, the painstaking detail.
And I mean, like, insane. Go back and watch Monsters, Inc. And the big blue Sully, his hair used to be like, that was the thing. Like, he had all those individual, like 10,000 individual hair. And it does look good, but it doesn't look as good as it used to.
Yeah, going back and looking at it, like, watching Toy Story is awkward.
Yeah, I watched it the other day. It's part of the 25 Days of Christmas. And I was like, wow, this movie doesn't look... Like, you could just see the seams constantly. Like, you know what always... It still bugs me. What always bugged me about Toy Story was... They were new, so they felt the need to do this. All the toys, when they blink, do not blink in unison. Because they wanted to separate them from the humans in the movie. So when they blink left, right. Left, right. It's horribly like, yeah, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Sorry. You know, and like their blinking makes noise because they're toys. So it's like, it's just horribly distracting. And I think they stopped doing that after a while.
Yeah, I had Toy Story 3 on the other day. I didn't notice that. It might have just become like, this is too deep a cut for this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. They're toys. We get it. They're not real.
Yeah.
Just make them blink in unison. It's easier.
Well, it's actually... There's a mathematical formula someone derived to describe the rate at which people blink on average.
Hmm.
And it was something like, I remember on Star Trek, Data mentions it, like, you know, like, so somebody asks him, how do you, you blink? And he's like, yeah, of course I blink. And he's like, well, why? He goes, well, my creator programmed in someone's formula about the rate at which people blink to make me look more, human. And I looked it up, and I'm pretty sure that was real. If you go back and watch The Silence of the Lambs, you realize that Anthony Hopkins almost never blinks in that movie. He actually made a conscious choice to not blink, which makes me rub my eyes now just thinking about that, because that's really bad for your eyes and just kind of skeeves me out.
They did that in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Christopher Lloyd played the villain, and he's supposed to playing a cartoon in disguise wearing like a mask, and he never blinks either.
Do you see his eyes much, or did he have glasses on?
So sometimes he had the glasses with, like, the reflective shield, but you do see his eyes. And he just said, like, if I blink, like, cut away, or, like, don't use that take. He's like, I'm going to do this whole movie with my, like, not, like, bug-eyed, but, like, I'm just not going to blink.
That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, it's creepy when you notice it, but.
Yeah, oh, no, it's I mean, it makes it look terrifying. I don't know what it is. But blinking, for some reason, makes you look really normal.
Well, it's one of those things. And that's what I appreciate about it, that these Pixar and now these Disney movies, everything looks real but the people in them. Because it's very, very easy to detect when people aren't real. Because they call it the uncanny valley, where you can't tell the difference between a person and a non-realistic person. And we haven't reached that threshold yet. Because they're just little things, which is why CGI people never look good compared to CGI dinosaurs or toys or whatever.
They're getting pretty close with some video games.
Yeah, video games are close.
I see some I don't know what some action shoot 'em up game being advertised now, and I did like a double take to realize no, those are not people.
Yeah.
And I imagine a lot of that is done with motion capture.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's based on somebody, it's easier to make them.
Much easier, yes.
You know, but I like that they don't try to do that in this. Because it's like, you know what? It takes too much work. We all know it's not real. It's a cartoon. Just make them look like cartoon people. And we'll make everything around them look nice.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think you have to do that to a certain extent. Like, that's how she gets to be so pretty. Even though she looks very Polynesian, is you make her look adorable,
right?
Like they didn't like an avatar,
yeah.
You know, like they were designed to be attractive blue people for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you kind of don't want them to look too human because you can't play with them at that point. Like they're not cuddly and adorable; they're human. Human beings are, you know, it's too serious at that point for you to, you know, buy a doll of them. You know, Barbie's one thing,
yeah.
You know, but this is something else. Mm-hmm. So
I liked how everything looked, and the songs were pretty good. They weren't amazing. Like there were some were better than others.
There weren't very many of them, were there?
No, she sings her big song a few times, like over again. Yeah. So
and then he has one, and then there's the crab guy has
the
one.
The crab has one. And I think that when she sees the flashback of her ancestors. Sailing, they sing something a little different.
Yeah,
so, you know, but four.
Very similar to hers.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like hers with the drums in the background and it's like a tribal kind of music.
Yeah,
it's catchy. I mean, I wouldn't sing it. It's no Frozen or whatever. Letting go, but which is fine. We don't need any more Let It Goes.
No, we don't need any more Let It Go. That's on TV for the first thing. It's network TV debut. They're making a big deal about.
God, who hasn't seen it yet? Every kid must have seen it a bazillion times.
Now with commercials.
I know, yeah. Now that you've paid to watch this 12 times already, you can watch it for free, but interrupted.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So, anything about it that you didn't like? That you're like, this is stupid, or...
So the one thing I didn't like, and I could feel it when I was sitting there, was it takes forever for Moana to get her ass on the ocean. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, I could feel it. Like, mostly because of the trailers. I know she's going to go on this trip to find Maui and return this stone to its rightful place. But there's 20 minutes, almost half an hour, explaining where they're on their island, explaining her duties as the chief's daughter, explaining the history of her people. Like, it went on and on. The grandmother gets a couple speeches. Then the grandmother dies. I'm like, oh, my God, just get on your boat already. Like, and subsequently, you know, the movie's only 90 minutes. The journey on the boat isn't that long.
No, which, and if you think about it, they padded it with that very bizarre. Let's talk about the coconut pirates for a minute.
Yeah.
No,
I liked it.
Like,
but it was a little unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, it was certainly a fun scene, but it was just, God, it was just weird, you know? Like, I understand that there's a mystical element to the plot and, you know, for the most part, like the beginning scene is the grandmother telling them all about the, you know, the ancient gods and blah, blah, blah. And she's the only one that believes in this stuff. And their parents are trying to keep her more grounded. And, but she wants to, you know, buy into what grandma is selling. And, for the most part, the first maybe 20 minutes of a 90-minute film are pretty realistic, except for the prologue.
Right.
You know, it's just like, this is, you're on an island and you have to go fish and, you know, grow things, and we shall build a new thing over there, and, you know, administrative duties. And then it gets totally upended, and, you know, she goes into the cave and she bangs on the drum, and, you know, it becomes very magical right away.
Right.
And stays like that the whole time. And I kind of get the crab. You know, sea creatures are kind of a thing. That's not too weird. And like the whole point of the film was to go back to the island and, you know, put the stone back there. So that we knew about those characters. And then we need one more thing to keep the movie going. How about some coconut pirates? Great, you've done it again.
Yeah. Well, they needed something to get like the Rock and the girl together, because the Rock and her don't get along. Like, he doesn't want her around, so he tries to leave her behind, and she sort of proves that she can handle herself at least a little bit. I mean, I see what you mean in that it starts off realistic, and then it turns into this, you know, the crops are failing because the land is really being covered in darkness or whatever.
Which is fine. I mean, like, a mystical thing is not unusual for these kind of movies.
Yeah. I mean, it's really that, like, a metaphor in that everyone is denying who they really are. So Moana is an explorer, and no one wants her to explore because her father and everyone else just assumes they've always been on the island and it's been fine. Where in reality, they've forgotten that they all were explorers, you know, and the goddess that she's trying to revive is really that lava monster, and she has to remind it who it really is. And, you know, so the only ones that don't fit into that are all the demons and the pirate coconut people, because they just want the magic stone because it's really powerful and it does whatever.
Do they have to be coconuts?
Yeah, well, that was cute. It was different because, like...
Oh, it was different.
Even she looks at them like, oh, they're little coconut people, and they immediately draw, like, angry faces on their bodies, on the coconuts to make them look evil. And I was like, oh, that's cute. And then they start, you know, shooting, you know, blow darts at them.
Yeah, it was just a little bit weird for me. I mean, I get it. The thing is, like, they couldn't have been real pirates because the only humans in the story were the people from this tribe.
Yeah, that we know of.
Yeah, well, right, but like the whole point is that it was a very isolated kind of thing. Also, they didn't have to hire more actors to do voices.
Yeah, they just sort of make like squeaks and grunts, like, you know.
Yeah. So it was just really weird.
So. Yeah, so it took her forever to get out there. There wasn't that much to do, you know, because there. And I was a little disappointed because you have the entire ocean and they kept talking about monsters and dangers, and they really only have two, the pirates, the crab, and then the demon at the end. So I guess two and a half, because the demon tends to be is actually the good person at the end.
Right.
So I was like, oh, the adventuring is over after all that backstory and everything. I'm like, okay, well.
It's a long walk for a short drink.
Yeah, it was just, it was a nice, the journey was nice.
Yeah, it was, it was extremely predictable at times. That kind of bugged me, but.
Well, that's why, I think that's why they didn't have a villain, you know, mustache twirling person. Because they're trying to do different things here.
Yeah.
You know, but when you start with a premise like this, like even the Rock's character says, like, I'm not going to be stuck on the ocean with some princess. She goes, I'm not a princess. He goes, you're the chief's daughter with a pet sidekick. You're the princess. Same difference. Like even he's pointing out that it's the same damn thing we've seen in the last 50 years. You know. So Nothing else I didn't like about it. I thought it was okay. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like amazing or anything.
No. I just was kind of like, all right.
Yeah. I mean, there was...
Anyway.
I was hoping for more from the music, but one or two songs is pretty good.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the music is sort of dependent upon the plot. If there was more for her to do, she would have been able to sing about more.
You know,
you can't just shoehorn in songs. So, like, I don't really fault them for not doing more with that because there wasn't enough time left in the story to do more with that.
Yeah.
So, but, so yeah. And I think we're all excited for Cars 17, which comes out pretty soon.
Did you see the trailer for that?
Boy, I got serious real quick.
Yeah. Whoa.
I heard he dies.
Whoa, man. Does he die? Is that what happens?
I have no idea. But, like, the trailer is like this, you know, it's, gorgeous trailer. Like
crush him into a cube yet?
he's the Lightning McQueen's flipping around, and you see him like in slow motion hanging in there. I'm like, oh my god!
Yeah, like a blown tire.
Well, more than that, it looked insane.
Isn't that his leg?
Right? These things are alive, is what you're telling me.
Why would cars go to watch other cars? Is that like we're all at a track meet or something?
Essentially, yes.
Nah, the whole concept that I always thought was never a great idea, and it's still not great, but it sells a lot of toys, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's a total cat. And, like, they kind of know that, and they're like, yeah, you know, whatever. John Lasseter loves it, too. I think it's like his, like, it looks like that's his favorite thing is.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
His cars.
Because he's up with so many other great stuff, you know.
Yeah, like that. That's sort of like this is your thing. You're gonna hang your hat here.
Yeah.
All right.
And I really hope they don't make a sequel to this. This is cute. It stands on its own, Moana. It was fine.
Yeah.
You know, stick her in the pantheon of princesses and call it a day.
The pantheon of princesses. Yeah, I think they will maybe for Netflix or something like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that's but they might.
There's
do that.
Always those, but.
Yeah, I was excited to watch Mulan 2, you know. Anything more with The Rock is always good, too.
Yeah, The Rock is a national treasure.
Yeah. Yes, he was great. He was the best one in the movie, I thought.
He's really fun to follow on Instagram, too. I enjoy him a lot.
Yeah.
He was, I forget what it was, but... He like won some kind of like a People's Choice Award, maybe not that, but like you know one of those awards where they just we go, well, you're great, and we think you're awesome, and so he's holding out the phone doing a Instagram story, and he's like, I'm on the set of my latest movie, whatever the hell it was, and you know, hey, so and so, like he's yelling in the background talking about his award, tell him what you think of me, and you just hear, you're an asshole. Like way in the back. Then him and Kevin Hart are hilarious together.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see that movie Central Intelligence just because the ads for it were really funny. I just never got to it. I don't know why. But
they're in Jumanji together. They're doing a reboot of Jumanji.
Jumanji.
So, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, all right. I read somewhere, I was like, America loves The Rock, as long as he doesn't try to get too fancy. And we're not in any danger of that happening.
Well, I was thinking about it the other day. Like,
he's not going to do an adaptation of The Great Gatsby or anything.
No.
Or Hamlet in a gym.
He's sort of, you know... He sprung, I think, out of he was this big personality within wrestling, and then he went on Saturday Night Live, and nobody had any high hopes for him being on that program, and the next thing you know, it was one of the funniest things you'd seen in a long time. Like I can't, there was one skit where he's in like a caveman outfit for no reason, he's a woman, you know, like he. Sort of proved, like, I'm willing to do whatever. I don't really care. Like, this is fun, and you'll pay me a lot of money, and I'll, you know, he's very talented, and no one really believed that he could be until, you know, he went on that show.
Well, he's got a good personality, and, you have to act to be a professional wrestler. no, oh, it's, sure. it's not a real thing. You know, it's a, it's an acting gig, so he does really well with that. And a lot of the better wrestlers do. You know, like...
yeah, even John Cena.
John Cena's great. Steve Austin was pretty good. You don't see him as much anymore, but that's okay. Like, he did a lot at the time. He was making guest appearances and things.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, they do well.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to have personality. You have to...
Showmanship. It's everything.
Yeah, and a little, you know, self-deprecation, never hurt anybody.
Yeah, I think that really helps. I think that helps wrestling, too. Like, we know it's stupid, but we enjoy it, so... I've been on.
We make a lot of money doing it, so what are you gonna?
Yeah, plenty of people. Plenty of people like it, so it must be doing something right.
I saw the trailer for the new Baywatch movie starring The Rock.
The Rock,
and that's going to be terrible. But I think they wanted to do that. Like, it's not an accident that it's terrible.
Yeah, and well, Baywatch wasn't great, so. Let's not try to reinvent the wheel here.
But there was a great story about how David Hasselhoff got really fed up with the show. He was like, I signed on to do a serious drama. You know, it's part, medical drama and part, soap opera type, thing. And if I see one more scantily clad woman in a bathing suit, I'm leaving. And then they showed him the overnights. And he was like, never mind. Because that show was big in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Internationally, it was the biggest thing that television had seen ever. Mm-hmm. The Chinese loved it.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
And if the Chinese love it, then you never have to worry about your house payments ever again. You just don't.
This is before the internet, people. Try to picture that.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, big deal, that show. So, but it's got, what's his name? Zach something?
Sounds like somebody that's important.
Yeah, he was in like Hairspray and High School Musical and what the fuck's his name?
I don't know. Zach Efron?
Thank you. Oh. Yeah, that's it.
Zach. Oh.
Yeah.
That's the one.
And a bunch of really hot girls in it. And Yeah. So it looks exciting.
Yeah.
It's very self-referential, which is going to be kind of interesting.
Well, that's how you have to do it. I mean, you can't do it any other way.
Unless you're making the Power Rangers movie.
Not sure what's going on with that.
Have you seen that trailer?
Yeah, I always saw the trailer.
I thought it was a very expensive joke.
Yeah, it looks like a fan fiction with that, like a guy who had too much money. It's like I made a movie in my backyard. I got Elizabeth Banks to be in it. She owed me a favor. I promised not to send those pictures of her, mowing naked in her front yard. So she's agreed to be in my Power Rangers movie.
Yeah, that looks ridiculous.
I read a really great article on the Nerdist website once that was like, some things you can't save from nostalgia. like some things you gotta just let them go when you try to revive them and you realize, God, this was stupid. And you know what? That's okay when you're 10. Like it's okay. I loved the Power Rangers when I was young because I was a dumb young kid. And then I grew up and I grew out of it. And like looking back, there's no rose-colored glasses for this. It's like, wow, that was really fucking stupid. And I was a stupid boy for liking action of, martial art people in colorful costumes fighting robots or whatever. But, you can't salvage some things. They can't be brought up to date. They can't be made for adults. Like, just let it go. Yeah.
I think that what we're witnessing now, and it's sort of catching up to us in a way, is that people are finding that there is a tremendous appetite amongst people our age you know, early 30s and mid 30s people for all the things that you enjoyed as a kid or a teenager, reinvented for now. The Gilmore Girls reboot, Fuller House. Trying to think what else there is. The Power Rangers, Transformers, which is, you know, that was more of an 80s thing, but, you know, it's all like,
yeah.
And this is what Hollywood does. They take old ideas and they reimagine them. I just saw something recently too, a remake of something.
Well, we're at that age where nostalgia is fun again. Like, hey, now that you have kids and a house and a real job, remember when it was fun 10 years ago to do these things?
Yeah.
Yeah, but now we have the internet to remind everybody of this stuff, so it's a bit more transparent than it used to be.
Yeah.
You know.
And also, too, like, there's no need for Fuller House. I mean, for Christ's sakes, that one woman, you know, was getting over a meth addiction for a long time. She's alive.
Yeah.
So, like, they trotted her back out, and I guess she needs the work. Good for her.
Well, that's just sort of... it's what people want, but I mean,
yeah, it really seems to be.
Some things are better left, you know, dead, or at least just for kids again. You know,
I mean, my favorite thing about the Power Rangers is that at least the version that we got here, like what you saw, was only half of that was filmed here. Like those actors.
I don't think they ever put those outfits on, those Power Rangers.
No,
they didn't. That was all Japanese stuff.
It was a Japanese TV show that was sold, either bought by somebody here or was just marketed over here, and they filmed the scenes without the masks with white kids.
Yeah.
You know, one Asian and one black kid. And
that's why the woman was dubbed, like their villain was dubbed over. I don't know if you
noticed.
Oh,
God,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the woman, whatever her name, who lived on the moon, you know, like all evil people do.
Sure.
She was dubbed, and horribly dubbed.
It's hard with Japanese, man.
Yeah, but
the two languages have nothing alike.
They always pick these voices. I mean, you know what's great? Like, they finally got rid of him. Hopefully he's okay. But on the news, on Fox, they had the guy who translates Arabic for them. He sounds like this all the time. Death to America. I'm like, what? They couldn't get a guy with a different voice.
They couldn't get a guy?
Yeah, it was horrible. I'm like, whoa, who is this? This is the only one they knew who spoke Arabic. Yeah, it's pretty funny. So,
oh,
yeah.
Christ.
Power Rangers looks terrible.
I'm trying to find...
All right. So, the big three.
Yeah. The big three. Okay.
Okay. You got the best scene in the movie, the worst scene in the movie, and what you wish the movie had done differently.
Best scene, worst scene. Do you have yours? Because I can think about mine if you want to.
Yeah.
Go.
So my favorite scene was when they fight the little pirates, the coconut guys, just because it was very fun and interesting to watch. Like up to that point, almost nothing had happened. And I was desperate for her to have an adventure. And then all of a sudden it was like crazy, you know. Their giant pirate ship with all the little coconut people splits into little ships and they start to like attack their boat. And the Rock keeps like knocking her off the boat. Like, well, I don't care about you, you know. So I thought that was fun. Yeah. It was exciting. The worst scene... probably when the grandmother came back to life as a ghost.
You mean Jedi Grandma?
Jedi Grandma transported by magical stingray. I thought was kind of cheap.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that they would have that conversation or that the stingray would be the grandma. Like, she couldn't do the whole like corporeal form thing.
Right.
She had to.
Yeah, she looked like Alec Guinness as a ghost.
Yeah. No.
I was like, really? Was really she just died. Like, she hadn't died that long ago because the intro of the movie was so long.
Yeah.
So, like, when she dies, that's when Moana decides to leave. And it was like, that just happened, like, 20 minutes ago. Because that took forever. So, like, oh, this is kind of lame.
Yeah. No, I was kind of disappointed in that. Like, I didn't mind that she, you know, she was her, like, her spirit guide or whatever. That's fine, but keep her like that. And it's harder to try to write that scene. You need to give her all the information and the thing to move on. you know, without dialogue, it's much harder to do, or a more creative way to get the dialogue in there.
But yeah,
you're right. It was cheap. It was like, here's grandma to explain something to you now.
Right. Harry Potter was so guilty of that. I used to drive me berserk about Harry Potter, too. I was like, oh, they killed Dumbledore. Yeah, but that magic painting, and then, like, I can use his magic pen and look into his memories. I'm like, he's not dead. He's still here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If you're dead, you're dead.
Yeah, if you're dead, you should be dead. That's how it works. And
it's good advice.
I wish the thing that I would have done differently was shorten up that intro and made that journey a little more interesting. You know, just
yeah.
More obstacles. Maybe another character. It was just her and the Rock's character. Like, the chicken didn't have any role in anything. It was just there. The ocean was a character.
Yeah,
like the water would come
when it wanted to be.
Yeah, it would come to life and like move them around in waves.
You know, but see, the problem I had with that was the ocean's a character sometimes.
Yeah,
couldn't the ocean just have pulled her?
Well, then she wouldn't have learned anything. But at one point, the ocean just like gets her over some hill that like she would never be able to cross. And Jackie goes, "Why didn't it do that before?" I'm like, "Bip, bip, bip."
Like, so why didn't the Eagles take him directly to Mordor?
Wait, they can fly? It's a good thing we didn't walk the whole way because it's very far.
Yes. So.
What about you?
All right. I mean, as much as I thought the coconut things were just sort of shoehorned in and weird, it was the most, you know, action interesting thing that goes on, because like the end, the big fight with the monster isn't a big fight with the monster. It's, you know, it's a realization of, oh, I know how to fix this, and I can get her to somehow not light me on fire to do it. So I guess I'll give it to that as like, in an isolated fashion, that was the best scene in the movie, mm-hmm. as far as the action goes. The worst scene in the movie, I'm gonna have to go with the crab.
Yeah, not a big fan of the crab scene.
No, because it was sort of stupid. And
well, how so? What part of it did you like?
I don't know. It was just so bizarre, and it. It got goofy. It could have been scary, and it wasn't really scary. It was just sort of goofy. And
You didn't see him as much of a threat, right?
No, like right. Like they're gonna get out of this. Like, which of course you know they are. It's only halfway through the film, but like, it's just like, there was no, it didn't raise the stakes enough to say this could actually not work out for them. Mm. You know, you need to feel that, you know, not cerebrally, but emotionally, you need to be actually worried about them at this point of the journey, even though you know you paid for at least an hour and a half worth of footage. You know, they're not going to cut you out at 48 minutes. So,
yeah, well, that's like the Apollo 13 effect, where like I know they get out of this, but it feels like they won't.
Yeah.
Whereas in this movie, like you didn't feel that something bad was going to happen.
Yeah,
you know.
And I guess that's sort of what I wanted more to see, was this, like, you know, there was nobody benefited from anything that was happening, and that's the one thing I wish they'd done differently, is to, you know, why does Maui take the thing? He's like Loki. He makes mischief. That's his thing. Okay, fine. He doesn't benefit from it. He doesn't, you know, lose anything for, like, yeah, they trapped him on the island for a few thousand years, but didn't bother him that much. He's happy to leave, but he's no worse for the wear. There was really no character or anything that had anything to gain in opposition to your hero.
Well, this green stone is supposed to, like, give life. Well, they talk about it like everybody would want it. People come after me for it. And that's when the pirates show up.
To what end?
They don't explain. Well, that's why he steals it. because he was like, I wanted to give it to the humans so that they could make their own decisions and things like that. It's a bit vague, but he's doing it for yeah. humans, not just for no reason. You know?
Yeah. What's the counterpart in Greek mythology? It's shit. Steals fire from the gods.
Oh, God, what was his name? Basically, that's what he's like.
Greek god steals
Prometheus.
Fire.
Prometheus. Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, I know this. I've seen Superman Returns.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And he's kind of like that in a way. So he's a bit of Loki, a bit of that. I liked his little tattoo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that guy. He was
that
great.
Was fun.
That was a nice little, yeah, a nice touch, you know. And yeah. I was very surprised.
That was probably the most
showed people getting tattoos. Like, they didn't shy away
yeah.
from that, you know.
The poor guy. Is it done yet? Just about.
Yeah, what are you, like, two things? Two little needles?
Yeah. Yeah. He had a line on his back.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, no, the... That was probably the most creative thing about the movie was the tattoo could interact with him.
Yeah, well, that's like having the little sidekick, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. So yeah, that's my three things.
Okay.
So. All right.
Anything else?
Left but Star Wars at this point.
Yeah, you're gonna get it whether you like it or not.
Well, I did hear a couple interesting things about it.
Well, let's. Are we gonna get into it now or?
No, but just two things I heard that were like, oh, that's different, and they're not used to different. And so the first is that there's no crawl, like no like Star Wars, bah, 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 and the music I believe is not done by John Williams.
No, it's someone else.
Yeah,
well, he's old now.
Well, he's old, but like even if they trot out some of the old, you know, there's hundreds of hours of stuff they could just. Throw in there, you know, it doesn't have to be new stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
They could, you know, they could hire Danny Elfman to do the new stuff. And then...
Yeah.
But, anyway, so those things, like, I'll go, oh, okay, that's a departure.
You know, I heard it was, whatever. We'll go see it. You're getting more Star Trek, whether you like it or not, you Dorito taco eating fucks. So choke
Wars,
it down.
Star Wars.
No, we're not getting any Star Trek, are we? Damn.
No.
Well, according to that show, they keep recasting people.
Really? Is that what they're doing?
That show might never come out.
Yes. Recasting? That's a big deal.
Yeah. Star Wars is going to be everywhere. It might actually be a real religion.
Side note. I came across today a really interesting documentary about Brian De Palma. It's on Amazon Prime. You should watch it. Yes. Not only is it interesting, it's very interesting.
It's very interesting. That's cool.
But yeah, it's you know, it's about, you know, all of his movies. And it's just really him talking, which is really interesting to me.
Huh. Well, that's what most documentaries should be.
Yeah. I mean, there's no voiceover. It's just him talking about this and... They interspersed it with cuts of the movies he made, and yeah, no, it's interesting. Although I'm sitting there at work watching it on my lunch break, and of course, there's like, you know, a scene from his film that had nudity. And I'm like, oh shit, you know, whoops. And like, I'm in there by myself, but like, nobody better walk in right now. <It'd be> really annoying.
It's gonna take me at least 5 seconds to put the phone down and zip up my pants. I can only do one of these things.
So what'd you do? I zipped up.
I zipped up, exactly. Like, what did you do? I zipped up.
Funny stuff. All right, everybody. Well, if you haven't done so already, I'm going to remind you to go to iTunes and to leave us a review or even just hit that star button. That would be really great. And you can follow us on Twitter at the number 3DrinksInPod. At 3DrinksInPodcast on Instagram. We are on Facebook as well. And I think that's all the places you can email us if you want to. At the 3DrinksInPodcast@gmail.com. But no one does that anymore.
Nope.
So we'll see. So anything else there?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, everybody, please, as always, have a great holiday. We might be back on before then if we get to Star Wars this weekend. We'll see. Yeah. Busy weekend coming up. A lot of holiday parties and such. So we'll see what goes on. And as always, please drink responsibly.
Yeah. Take care.
See you next time. Adios.